This is the Doug Marrone Show.
The Doug Marrone Show.
Former Jaguar Jeff Lagerman and JP Shadrick discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Marrone Show starts right now.
Welcome into the Doug Marrone Show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, and head coach Doug Marrone.
What's up, coach?
How you doing?
Great. Week four. Here we go. The New York Jets await this Sunday. Are you ready?
Yes.
Better be. Here it comes.
Absolutely.
Thursday night is coming up Sunday. The Jags coming off the London game. A big win over the Ravens. 44-7. It's the first time you haven't had a bye week after the London game. At least the Jaguars haven't. So, but you talked about this earlier in the week that you planned for this week and what kind of work was going to get done way back in the off season. So it's really not a surprise this week when it comes up.
No, we did. I mean, you know, you look at it and then you know, you're talking about the option of the bye when you want it. And obviously, you know, most teams want it in the middle of the year. And last year, they had, you know, obviously Indianapolis went without the bye. And when we had the decision and came up that we weren't going to have the bye after the London game, then it was like, okay, what can we do ahead of time to make sure, you know, from a planning, you know, perspective that, you know, we're going to be, you know, up to date and ready to go. And how about with the players and when do we want to bring them in and what do we want to do practice wise that week? So for us, we had a long time to plan it. And obviously we feel that it's, you know, we're up to speed.
What's it like? What is it like? 8.5 hour flight back. So, I mean, and what's amazing is technology in the NFL now. When I first came in the league, you were first in the league. I mean, there was film. I mean,
right.
Real film.
Yeah. We took a poll the other day with the staff, maybe a couple of weeks ago, not the other day, but I said, just raise your hand if you ever spliced tape and put it together, because that's what we all had to do when we first started coaching. And it was only about 3 or 4 hands that were raised in the air. And everyone was talking about how I used to get the cuts, you know, I used to get paper cuts or the film cuts, you know, on your fingers and everything. And it was, you know, it was tough to work with. But, you know, you don't watch the film until the next day. And, you know, now it's so different. I mean, you talk about, you know, right after the game, we can download, obviously, all three phases of the game. We can get all the data, you know, from the game in there, you know, 1st and 10, 2nd and 8, all those things, pass, run. And then we actually just, you know, very quickly, we just type in the plays on the play calls, and it's ready for us to go, you know, while we're on the plane. So we can get a lot of work done, you know, during that time, because it's a difficult time to sleep. You know, you're wired from the game, you're all, you know, fired up, and, you know, it's a good opportunity to get some work done and try to get ahead in the week.
And you're trying to kind of, you look on the way back. Now you got to get your body clock back to Jacksonville time. So, you know, you want to probably stay up on the flight back. But, I mean, the technology like you're talking about, I mean, you know, with the Microsoft Surface or iPads, you know, these little portable devices, I mean, the video quality on them is better than it was for years with film. I mean, good film.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, I remember growing up where we didn't have a, you know, to click the channels, and I had to, you know, sit close to the TV, and, you know, my dad would say, turn the channel, and I'd have to, you know, turn the channel, and, you know, and the screens, it wasn't, you know, it was kind of blurry, and it was black and white, you know, in the beginning, but, you know, now, you know, the technology is, it's unbelievable. I mean, you can, you know, even just look at the scoreboards, you know, around the league, and our scoreboards here are just outstanding, but, you know, what you can see, it really is incredible, and you can get a lot of work done earlier than you can.
And part of coming back, you know, obviously it creates a little bit of an adjustment time-wise for the body. You know, and I remember growing up in Northern Virginia and hearing the stories about Joe Gibbs. You know, used to sleep in his office, you know, what, 3-4 times a week. And does that still happen? I mean, do you or other coaches still, hey, you know, let me have my pillow and fold out the cot and catch some Z's?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it happens a lot around the league. It really does. I mean, I know here that, you know, we have a couple of coaches that we stay. I stay a couple of nights a week, you know, and it's just, you know, before I used to actually put my pillow and blanket back in the closet. Now I just leave it right on the couch. I just don't even, you know, I don't even put it anywhere. But I think, you know, what it is from a coaching perspective, you know, you have all this technology, you have all this information, you just want to make sure that you're going through it, because really our job is to make sure that we put the players in the best position possible to win. So, you know, for us, we want to get through all that stuff. We don't want to miss anything. You don't want to say, gosh, I wish I would have gone back and looked at this extra red zone cut up or third down cut up. So, you know, with the technology has come an abundance of information. And, you know, you have to decipher through all this information and really pick to see what is going to really help us win, and where should we spend our time. And, you know, hey, maybe this really doesn't mean anything. We need to let this go.
One final thought on the London trip coming back for the players and having to play this Sunday. That's the big thing. You said the Colts were the first team to play after the game in London last year. Have you done anything different with their schedule? Has Milo done anything different with them? How do you change their schedule, or is it different at all this week?
Well, it is. I mean, you know, obviously when you get back, it's like I said before, I've compared it to like a West Coast trip where you're getting back in at 2 in the morning, you know, where, you know, most of the players, you know, were awake, like Jeff said, you know, during the ride back. And then for them, what we did is we just made sure they had enough recovery time, so when we got to the stadium about 2 o'clock in the morning, they can go home, you know, and get a full 8 to 9 hours of rest. And then so we pushed everything back on Monday. And then Tuesday's the players' day off, and obviously a lot of players came in later there. So within the first 48 hours, the players were able to recover from the trip and the travel.
Could you see that they were recovered, in fact, you know, after with that schedule? Because, you know, I mean, look, you get a firsthand look at it on Wednesday and today.
Well, I think a lot of the players were probably surprised how they've come back. In my conversations with them, they were just, you know, hey, listen, I feel good. I feel better than I thought I'd feel, or things of that nature. So, you know, they're in good spirits and good shape.
Now, the one thing I always enjoy on a long flight like that, you know, I get to watch the film as well. And, you know, I remember for years watching games, and when you left the game, you kind of had a feeling one way or the other. Or, you know, hey, that game really felt good, and you watch the film, and you go, you know what, it was just okay. And it might be the other way, to where, you know, you leave the game feeling, you know, it wasn't that great, but then you watch the film and say, it wasn't that bad. Did you have a feeling one way or the other? Because after a game like that, to where you win, you know, convincingly, and it feels so good, watching the film, did it still feel that good, or did you kind of go, well, you know what, we still could have done better here?
I think it all depends on what your personality is. I really believe that, and I'm just wired, you know, in a way that you know, I'm happy for the players that play well. It's like you can almost say, okay, you know, here we are working with these players on the field. We're trying to get this type of execution. We're trying to get these things done. And then you see a player do that. That's gratifying as a coach. And I think there was a lot of that on the film. But at the same time, you know, okay, how can we make this better? You know, what can we do a better job of? Okay, what have we shown that we maybe not want to show? What, you know, there's a lot of things that go through your mind from a strategic standpoint, and there's a lot of things that go through your mind of saying, you know, what do we need to challenge our players with? And we still, you know, we played this game, and I really believe all three phases did play well in this game, and obviously the score reflected that. But, you know, there are still things that we have to work on that if we don't point them out and we don't work on them, you know, it's going to catch us, you know, somewhere along during the year, and it's kind of like that Achilles heel.
Let's come back and get into the offensive side for this Jaguars team, what they'll face this coming Sunday against the New York Jets. We'll also dig into your time as an assistant in New York. You had some nice comments about that earlier this week. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
That's something that's kind of come along with maturing, I guess, as a football player and being around Nathaniel and understanding the offense and the system. And, you know, more so than anything, it's making sure we end every possession with a kick, whether it's, you know, a field goal, an extra point, or a punt, and not turning the ball over. And it all kind of goes back to the way our defense has been playing. You know, if we don't turn the ball over, we're going to have a chance to win a lot of football games. And a lot of that is, you know, on my shoulders to control it.
Here's your quarterback, Blake Bortles, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone. The Doug Marrone Show continues. We'll get to Blake coming up in the offense. But you're going back to New York, obviously your hometown. But you spent some time with the New York Jets as well. You had some nice comments earlier in the week about your time there as an assistant with Herm Edwards, right?
Absolutely. It was my first job in the NFL as a coach. And it was interesting because I was at the University of Tennessee, and I'd gotten a phone call, and it said, you know, they said, listen, your name's come up a couple times. We've interviewed about seven, you know, O-line coaches, and, you know, we think we know who we're going to hire. You know, would you mind, you know, coming up and interviewing? And I said, sure, I'll come up, but can I get 2 days in the hotel so I can visit my parents, you know? And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. So I went up there with really no pressure or anything.
In a couple nights.
And two nights at the hotel, the Marriott.
The Marriott, right? Right there,
at the Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah.
So I went out there, and then I interviewed for the job, and it was probably one of the toughest interviews, you know what I'm saying, that I've had, meaning length of time, the questioning and everything. And then all of a sudden – I go back, I'm on the road recruiting, and, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, they told me they already had their guy in mind. And next thing I know, they're like, hey, listen, we want you to be the offensive line coach. And I was like, oof. You know, because at that point I didn't even think about going, you know, to the NFL. I was just thinking about doing a good job where I was. So Herman Edwards was the head coach. He hired me. I was fortunate. I walked into a room with truly pro players. That's the one thing I've always appreciated. In other words, you know, Kevin Mawai was the leader of the group. He's being inducted, obviously, in the Ring of Honor this week. Not only an outstanding person, but obviously an outstanding football player. And we had a veteran group. And, you know, and that's a tough situation to go into, you know, first year being in a coach in the NFL. Because I remember someone told me, they said, well, you know, even though you played a little bit, that's going to last about 2 seconds, and then they're going to respect you for what comes out of your mouth next. And if you can help them become better players, then they'll respect you. If you can't help them become better players, you're not going to be in this league for long.
Your starting offensive line, you remember them?
Yes.
From left tackle to right tackle, mm-hmm. Who were they?
We had Jason Fabini was our left tackle. Dave Zott, who does the player relations for the Jets now. Kevin Mawai, Randy Thomas, and we had Kareem McKenzie.
Good group. Dave Zott was a hell of a football player.
Dave Zott,
Kansas City and with the
Jets. He had that stance. You know,
yeah,
it
looked like he was doing other things that we can't describe on the radio.
And he was a heck of a player. We used to, you know, give him a lot of stuff about you know, he lost a heavyweight title in the state wrestling tournament to Siragusa. So when we played the Ravens the one time, we were telling Zai, we're like, look, you're not going to lose to this guy again, are you? I mean, he's already beat you in high school. He's going to beat you up again. You know, so we were giving him a little stuff. But.
Yeah,
but
Siragusa was in a different weight class by that time, you know. a little different. But growing up in the Bronx, mm-hmm. You know, look, I grew up in Northern Virginia. It was Redskin territory, and you didn't really have a choice. I mean, you watched the Redskins because that's what your folks had on the TV. In the Bronx, I mean, obviously, you got the Giants, you got the Jets. In your neighborhood, in your house, was there a favorite?
Well, you know, I think, you know, with my dad, it was basically the Giants and the Cleveland Browns. My dad was a big Jim Brown fan, and I think that, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, there's obviously a lot of Jet fans, Giant fans, but there was a lot of it was just they just love sports, you know, and so. For me, what happened was, and this is a story going way back, in 1970, you know, my parents bought, it was the first and only new car we ever bought. And I went to, my parents let me stay up, and it was a Monday night, and it just happened to be a football game. It was probably my first introduction, it's my first memory of football. It was a Monday night game, and in 1970, and the Detroit Lions were playing the Chicago Bears. And for some reason after that, I just, you know, always liked the Detroit Lions growing up. And I think I was probably the only Detroit Lion fan in the Bronx.
In the Bronx, yeah.
You know what I'm saying, at the time. But, you know, we didn't have a lot, but my dad, you know, would take me to the exhibition games at, you know, the Yale Bowl to see the Giants and Jets play. And then, you know, after that, back then, Jeff and I were talking about it, a lot of times a lot of players would be out and they would play basketball games and things of that nature. And they came to my high school one time, and I remember sitting standing in line and waiting for Bob Tucker, who's a tight end, waiting for his, you know, autograph. And I had this little book, and I wish I still had it. And I had, you know, Spida Larkar and, you know, Bob Tucker and Doug Kotar and, you know, players like that for New York. And then when I was a kid, I'd go to the training camps. So it was good.
Let's come back and get into the Jags offense against the Jets defense. The defensive front for the Jets, very strong. We'll see about that matchup when we return. It's the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
J.P. Shattered, Jeff Lagerman, head coach Doug Marrone. The Jags and the Jets coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock at MetLife Stadium, East Rutherford, New Jersey. And let's get into the game a bit. We heard from Blake Bortles just a moment ago there. I think the question was about throwing the ball away some. That brought the percentage down a little bit. But that part of the offense for Blake, you know, 2 years ago, and he said it himself, he might have thrown a ball into coverage that didn't need to go there. He's thrown some away. He looked very confident last week. And the offense as a whole, I don't know if there's been a better day around here in a long time.
Well, again, I think obviously they went out there and they played well, and that's the one thing, you know, you have to go out there each Sunday. And that's where I think, you know, we talked about it early in the week about creating that consistency, you know, in our football team. You know, we just don't want these moments of doing things extremely well. You know, we want to be consistent and have, you know, moments throughout the whole year and keep it, you know, the steady hand. So, you know, there's still a lot of work to do, and we're working and striving to get that thing better. And like I said, you know, it's early in the year, and it's you know, it's like you're at the bottom of this mountain, and you're just kind of pushing this, you know, stone up this mountain. And right now we're at the bottom of it, and we're still trying to keep pushing this thing up.
I thought it was, first of all, going back to the Ravens game, the job that Nathaniel Hackett and your offensive staff did, I thought it was great. And the one play that I kind of look back on and remember calling the game, and it was the vertical route to Marquise Lee. Mm-hmm. And when that worked, I thought that was just a big moment, because it kind of said, okay, hey, look, we're going to be aggressive and we're going to execute these plays that are aggressive. And it kind of, I don't want to say it gave confidence, because look, confidence is something that's always, that has to be constantly, you know, coaxed and massaged. But that was kind of a big play, I thought.
Well, and you know, he made a nice move. You know, he made the outside move on just the go route, and you know, Blake put it out there, and you know, just hit him right in stride. So it was a great throw, great route. And I think it's the same thing. You know, it goes with execution. I mean, you know, if you can go out there and you can execute, and you know, we work on those things all during the week. But really, the only thing that people actually do see is what you do on Sunday, and that's where, you know, we have to do a good job.
With the Jets defense, they're coming off a game in which I'm sure that they've gained a lot of confidence. They didn't allow but 30 yards rushing by the Miami Dolphins and had a shutout until the very last play. And they've got, in my opinion, some really good players at all three levels. And starting up front, Leonard Williams and Muhammad Wilkerson, who's been on the injury report, very good football players. I call them three-gap defensive tackles.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, obviously when I was in Buffalo, we played against Muhammad Wilkerson, you know what I'm saying, on a daily basis, you know, at least twice a year. And he's one of those players that can take over a game. And, you know, Leonard Williams is doing an outstanding job for him, and McClendon's in the middle. And I think, you know, on the outside, the two outside linebackers, they do an excellent job. They're strong. They can hold a point. They force things inside. I think the linebackers run extremely well for them. So, you know, the front seven, you know, just talking about the front seven, they're very stout, and it's very difficult to run the ball against. And, you know, a good indication of what the Jets are, at least in my mind, you know, is watching that Miami game. It's a division opponent. It's at home. They've been on the road the first 2 weeks. And, you know, they played extremely hard. They played with great enthusiasm, you know, which is going to be a great challenge for us. And then, you know, the two corners are veteran guys. They've been around this league. And the two safeties are both rookies, but they're not playing like rookies. I mean, they're probably the two best young safeties, you know, in this league right now.
Most coaches' reaction to having two rookie safeties would go, you know, hey, let's check them out.
Well,
you know, makes a lot of sense.
No, I don't. Maybe game one, but not after what, you know, those two safeties have put on film. They've done an outstanding job.
Let's flip it around now. Jaguars defense against a veteran quarterback this week in McGowan, a guy who's been around the league for a long time. May not have had the big success of a guy who's been around the league for 15 years, but he's been around for 15 years, and that brings something to the table here.
He does. I mean, when you look at his career, and again, I think that obviously there's not anything you're going to be able to throw at him that he hasn't seen. I think that, you know, he has three really good receivers around him. I don't know if he's had that, you know, everywhere he's been in his career. You know, he has obviously speed with Anderson that can get it vertical. You know, Kearse and Curley are doing an outstanding job. They have, you know, three good running backs, two veteran running backs. They have, you know, a really good core of offensive linemen that have been around and played quite a bit. You know, the tight end is back now, who's a big target, tough to get down. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us there also, you know, playing against their offense, because the one thing about McCown, he can throw the deep ball extremely well, and he has very good accuracy, and he can get very hot.
Well, and he's been, I don't know if he's been hot, but look, two games in a row over 100-plus rating. His completion percentage is fifth in the National Football League at nearly 70%.
Hot. That's hot to me.
That's pretty hot.
JP, don't you think?
That's pretty darn warm.
That's pretty good warm.
There's kind of different categories for hot. Yeah. That's Josh McCown hot. We're not talking Tom Brady hot, you know, so right. Kind of a different level. But, I mean, he's a good football player. And, you know, the one thing that I think when you watch him, and from the eye test, is when he is allowed to be in the pocket and be comfortable, that's when he's hot.
Yes, I would agree. And I think you can say that for most quarterbacks in the league, is that, you know, he's got a really good rhythm to him. He has a really good, you know, really good arm. Like I said, there's not a throw on the field that, you know, you say he can't make. The one thing about it is, you know, through the experience of what I see on film of him is, you know, he's a confident player. When he makes a decision to throw that football, he believes he's going to get it in there.
I think the other thing that stands out, you know, when you look at quarterbacks and the real good ones, you know, I listen to many quarterbacks talk in the past. You know, John Elway, other guys would talk about how the importance of the quarterback on third down. So I always kind of look at the rating overall, then I look at the third down passer rating. And it's impressive. I mean, Josh McCown, his rating actually jumps nearly 20 points when he goes from just regular rating to his third down rating. It goes up 20 points on third down. That's impressive.
It is. I mean, he's Johnny Morton's the offensive coordinator there. Johnny and I work together in New Orleans. Jeremy Bates is there. We work together. So, you know, they have good coaches on that staff. They're going to challenge us schematically, and our guys are going to have to be able to do a good job.
Sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
I just want one more thing on coaching, because you talk about coaching there. Todd Bowles has been a widely successful defensive coach in this league before he became a head coach. He was interim coach, head coach for a couple different places. What is the one, I guess you could say, characteristic or trait of a Todd Bowles defense?
I think, you know, obviously, at first when you put it on tape, I think, you know, they play extremely hard. I think that obviously they're very sound from a gap standpoint. You know, they're going to be able to, you know, make sure that someone should be in every single gap. And I think the challenge is, I think Todd does an outstanding job, and along with Casey Rogers, of the third down packages that they have. You know, they have different types of personnel in there. You know, it's a challenge schematically of what they're doing, whether it's three down linemen in there, four down linemen in there. They've done a great job. You know, you say the young safeties, you know, Jamal Adams is, you know, he's placed all over the place. You know, wherever he's at, he can blitz, he can come, he can go back to the middle of the field. There's a lot of different things that they're doing. So it'll be a challenge for us on, you know, on every down, but on third down, I would say, you know, Todd and his staff do an outstanding job in getting the players to play hard. They've always played extremely hard.
All right, Doug, everybody in the league splits the season up by quarters. You've got a chance to win the first quarter of the 2017 season with a win on Sunday. Is that something you tell your players, and is that a goal for this team?
Well, we talk about, you know, the quarters. I don't know if everyone does. It's just the way I was brought up in this profession. So, you know, we talk about the quarters, and we, you know, try to keep our concentration right on the team that we're playing. So we never get, you know, we're not going to go ahead and look back, and we're not going to look too far forward. We're going to look to see what we have to do today. And that's been what we've been trying to get accomplished of, you know, with our football team, is that, listen, okay, today this is what we need to get accomplished. This is what we have to do. This is our goal. So when we walk out of here, we can feel comfortable, you know, with this part of the plan or the situations that we're working in. And then obviously leading up, getting ourselves ready, prepared, and then trying to make sure as the week goes along, we're putting everything together. So as a team, we understand, because we're going to go out there as a team, and we need to understand, you know, exactly what we need to do to win as a team with all three phases playing as one.
You know, a lot of your philosophy and other coaches' philosophies are formed, you know, through their formative years, whether they be a player, whether they be an assistant coach. Who's made the greatest impact on your coaching life in your past as a player and as an assistant coach or as a coordinator, whatever it may be? Who's the one guy that you just really had a big impression from?
You know, I've tried to take, you know, different things. I've been very fortunate, and I tell my children this, and I tell players this too. I've been very fortunate. I've had outstanding coaches from Little League baseball to high school football to college football, you know, with Dick McPherson. And I would think the person that helped me grow the most, the person that made me love football was, you know, my high school coach. My baseball coaches were strict discipline, batting cages and doing those things. And, you know, and then as you move through, you know, your college coach probably has, you know, at least for me, had probably one of the greatest influences on me. Obviously, he's just passed away, Coach McPherson. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. And I had a greater appreciation for him after I left college than while I was there. You know, and then obviously, you know, all the personal coaches I had, you know, the offensive line coaches, you know, that always pushed me to push me to a limits that I never thought I can push myself. And I think that's the main thing that I got out of coaching, that, you know, if they weren't there, would I have been able to push myself, you know, to be able to get through it, whether it be running or lifting or whatever it may be. And then in the NFL, I was fortunate to be around. Again, I wasn't a good enough player to stick around, but I was around people like Coach Shula, you know, Coach Landry, Coach Knoll, you know, people like that, that, you know, I was smart enough to know. I wasn't good enough to be an NFL football player, but I was smart enough to know to take notes, think about how they spoke to the team, think about what their philosophies were. And then obviously, you know, when I started out as a young coach, just, you know, taking notes and listening more than talking. And I think that's one of the things that helped me, you know, in my career, that I would sit back and listen and not really talk too much and take notes and think about it and ask good questions. So it's difficult to put it on one person. They've all meant a lot to me. I think I'm a combination of a lot of people that I've been around. At the same time, you know, I can't mimic those coaches, or, you know, I am who I am and I have to be myself. But the principles and the philosophies of, you know, the hard work and the discipline and the execution and those things, I think that goes back to, you know, my parents and my Little League coaches. And I was fortunate enough to be around coaches like that my whole career.
The name of your high school coach?
Carmine Calisano. He'll be at the game.
He's coming.
He's coming. Along with about 20 players from my high school. Fortunate enough that I believe the Jets had given my high school football team tickets. And then, you know, all the players, you know, a couple of players that I played with myself, you know, from high school, you know, they were texting me, asking me, you know, are you going to be available? You know, then I'm like, no, we're coming in late. We got meetings, dinner, everything. I'm going to bed and
business
waking.
Trip.
Yeah, I'm waking up and playing. And, you know, the worst part about, I think, you know, being a coach in the league is that, and maybe it's just me, most of my friends only want to come see me when we're playing. No one ever wants to come see me when we're on vacation. So, I mean, I think they might be telling me something like, hey, we want to come see, you know, you and your family and watch you guys play, but we don't really want to be with you a lot.
Yeah, we won't see the game.
We know you're busy.
Exactly.
Hey, Coach, let's win the first quarter. How about
yes, absolutely.
There he is, Doug Marrone, Jaguars head coach, joining us. We'll be back with more. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
I mean, yeah, it's my guy, man. We the best tandem in the league. I'm always gonna stand by that. I'm always gonna ride with my mans. I mean, once he got one, he just kept coming up to me. He said, "Jay, yours is coming." You know, he always tell me I'm the best. I always tell him he the best, and I truly believe that. Together, we are the best tandem. So, you know, I couldn't let my man show me up, so I had to go out there and do a little something.
Jeff, you're the best.
JP, no, you're
no,
the
no,
best.
No, no, no.
No, 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 no. You're the best.
Doug Marrone's show continues. Our thanks to the Jaguars head coach, JP Shepard.
No, wait a minute. Joe Fortunato's the best.
Joe Fortunato's the best. Max Hockman is the best.
Well, I don't know about that.
On Jaguars.com also tonight. Yes. No, you're the best. Jalen Ramsey there after the game in London, and you know.
Such a tender moment.
It really was with those two. And, hey, they had a game, man. Each of them got an interception. This is a defense that didn't have a lot of takeaways over the last four, five, six, fill-in-the-blank number of years. They've got three I mean, they had three turnover takeaways last week, and yeah, they're second in the league in plus minus.
Yeah, and then look, it's no secret the formula for winning football in the National Football League. It's, you know, when you look at the determining factor of wins and losses, the first thing you look at is turnover ratio. And the Jaguars, I mean, if there was ever a clear example, I mean, the three games that they've played, I mean, that's the perfect example. Plus three after the first game, and you crush the Texans. Minus two against the Titans. You got beat. Plus three. There's a plus four against the Texans. Minus two, and then plus three against the Ravens. And here's the other kicker. Sacks allowed. Zero against the Texans.
Yep.
Two against the Titans. Zero against the Ravens.
It's incredible.
Okay, so
it's the least in the league.
You know, and there's never really been a this really hasn't – it's not an official stat, but it's something that a lot of people talk about. It's called plus-minus sack differential, okay? And right now, they're plus 11. So you're plus 11 in your sack differential, and then obviously you're, what, plus 5 on turnover differential. I mean, those two numbers right there tell you why the Jaguars are winning. Now, there's other things that go into –
absolutely –
why those numbers are what they are, but I mean that's the numbers you look at for the reasons of success. Now going to Ramsey and Boye before we got distracted there, telling everybody how great they were. That was one of the, that was two of maybe the most incredible interceptions that I've seen in one game.
The Boye one was incredible to begin with. He tips the ball up out of the guy's hand, stays in bounds, makes the diving, just keeps it off the grass blades there. Do you think, wow, it's unbelievable? And then Ramsey almost
it was tremendous.
Him.
Well, it was tremendous because, and to go to the Boye play, he doesn't tip the ball as it's actually going into the hands of the wide receiver. Macklin actually has it,
right,
and he's coming down with it. But A.J. Boye has the awareness that that ball has to be pulled in, and he has his arm literally right between the two arms of Macklin. So as he's pulling it down, he's going up to knock the ball out. And then he tips it up in the air twice and then gets his hands underneath of it in a diving fashion to make the interception. And then gets up and runs with it. I mean, what great awareness for a player. And it's amazing to think this was an undrafted player out of Central Florida.
It's incredible, right?
Which is a tremendous job. Now, look, what Jalen Ramsey did, you kind of expect it out of a guy who was a, you know, top pick, right? But I don't know if I've ever seen a defensive back make a diving catch like he did. I mean, that was truly to where if you slow motioned it down, he's in the air for about 7 yards. He's not catching this ball as he's leaving his feet. He's in the air for some time before his hands actually get the ball. And then he, just like, you know, AJ has the awareness to get the hands under the ball, make the catch. But a great read by Ramsey. Great awareness to undercut the route and to go make a play.
And closing speed to do it, too.
Oh, look, here's the reality. Jalen Ramsey is a freak, okay? He is a freak. And the reason I say it, first of all, athletically, he's a freak. He's unbelievable what he can do. And he's done this with having how many practices in training camp and in a regular season? You know, because he didn't practice a lot in training camp. And then he also didn't practice much. Certainly he didn't practice at all last week.
No.
Leading up to the Ravens game. So impressive.
Let's come back and guess. Let's get into this offense a little bit more.
Because, we can do it.
And play calling. How it might have changed a bit. We touched on it with Doug just a moment ago. This is the Doug Marrone Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Doug Marrone Show continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. We had Doug Marrone earlier tonight on the Doug Marrone Show. The Jags and the Jets coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock. Offense. We touched on Blake Bortles' day. I mean, from the optics of it, from what he did, what we had the week before against Tennessee, to what he did in London, I think it's the best outing he's had in his career. Now, you can go back statistically, and there was a better game in 2015
right,
against Tennessee by rating, and he had five touchdowns that day, I believe. But what this game means for this football team this year and in that place where they did it, I think all combined, it's the best game he's had.
Well, it is. Not, like you said, not from a rating standpoint. From a rating standpoint, second best. But I just thought the way that he was playing free, and what I mean by that, a lot of people say, what do you mean by he's playing free?
Well, what do you mean?
You go all the way back to Blake when he was a rookie, and look, he was, you know, off schedule plays. He had the pirouette in San Diego, made a crazy throw against the Redskins. I mean, all these kind of things that you're like, wow, you know. And then you started to see him slowly adhere, you know, start to apply himself to a system more. Well, then this year, because the system that, you know, he was operating under previously, when I say system, I'm talking the way that he played quarterback, wasn't having great success from a win standpoint. 5 wins in 2015, 3 wins in 2016. Things have to change to where that's the most important thing. Well, the emphasis on cutting out the turnovers was a message that was strong and loud and repetitive. We heard it all the time from Tom Coughlin, from Doug Marrone, from Blake Bortles, because he was being told all this. And you almost saw him play tight, to where he didn't feel, I don't know, free to do also what he does best, which is sometimes to be able to play above the X's and O's, but to play within the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, during this game against the Ravens, I thought, look, he extended plays, but he made good decisions. He scrambled and didn't do anything crazy to expose himself. And then also he bought time in the pocket and then accepted the check down. You know, and all these things are kind of what I consider a huge step forward. Now, I'm not saying that this step is going to continue to be taken or that it's going to be repeated, because you know what? He's got to go out and prove that he can do it again and
That's
again
right.
and again. That's
the next
challenge.
Step after the first
yeah,
step.
Absolutely.
Forward, keep stepping.
But, I mean, it's encouraging. It's encouraging in that, look, against the Texans, he protected the football. He wasn't asked to do much. Against the Titans, he wasn't asked to do very much at all, and he didn't have any success for the most part against the Titans. Well, then against the Ravens, you know, when I pointed to that play of the Doug, the one completion of Marquise Lee, that's a huge confidence booster for your offense. It's a huge confidence booster for him. And it was, I thought, an exceptional day for him, but maybe more so because of the play of Blake Bortles, an exceptional day for the play caller, Nathaniel
yep.
Hackett.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it last week, look, you still got to be able to play the game of football. You can't just keep running the ball. You got to keep teams off balance in a way that the Titans were playing them. They were daring them to throw the football. Well, the Ravens came in and they were doing the same thing. Well, guess what? They responded and called some plays on rundowns, what had been obvious rundowns for the Jaguars in the past, and they converted them. And they won some matchups. Mercedes won some matchups. Marquise won some matchups. Allen Hurns won a matchup on the touchdown throw. And that's what it's all about. But kudos to the coaching staff for putting together a very good game plan. And, you know, you say that because it worked.
Yes, you do. It did work enough to get a win and to go 2-1. But that said, I'm sure there are some concerns about this team. We'll come back and see what those are for a 2-1 tied for first place Jaguars football team. This is the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Just consistency and understanding is week by week. A few of us have been in this spot before, a few of us haven't. But we have to understand that it's only game four coming up. We still have a whole season to go. You know, you see teams like last year, like the Vikings, are 5-0 and then kind of fall off at the end. You know, we want to make sure we're the good example of teams that are starting to rise and make sure we just don't fall off. So it's just consistency, working, and keep chopping wood.
Keep chopping wood, Malik Jackson said in the locker room this week. JP
Without
Shadrick.
The action no, stuff.
We don't need any more of that around here. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman, the Doug Marrone Show rolls along. We had the head coach earlier tonight. The team is 2-1. With a win this Sunday, they could win the first quarter of the season, which would be a fine accomplishment at 3-1. That's a great record to start the season, obviously, for a team that hasn't won a lot of games around here the last few years. That all said, what are some concerns about the Jaguars right now?
Well, look, I don't know. I wouldn't call them concerned, but I think there's some areas that they can get better at.
Ah, see?
You know, because, you know, look, here's the reality. You can always get better, and it was interesting listening to Doug talk, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you know, you feel good about when a player has success, but you always want to do things better. And as excited as we are about this defense, and they're, what, ranked third overall in yards allowed, fourth in points allowed a game, which is two tremendous numbers. I want to see them get a little better on third down than what they are. They're kind of below middle of the road, you know, 17th, 18th, somewhere in that range. The red zone efficiency can be better. Red zone, I think they're allowing like 71% touchdown percentage, and these are statistical areas that you want to see them get a little bit better. Another area, too, is the yards per rush, which I think they've allowed 4.8 yards a carry as a defense. That can be better. Mm-hmm. But, look, I mean, I'm not complaining. But, I mean, if you want to become, you know, even better, I mean, these are a couple categories that you could even get better
at. I'm sure that's some of the things Doug's thinking about. I mean, there's always something to improve upon, even for the best team.
You know, and look, offense, the reality is they still have a lot of work to do. You know, I mean, they've been really good, but here's the reality. The defense has given them a lot of extra opportunities to look good. And there's going to be games that you're not going to get that. You know, and here's the number for you. The Jaguars have scored 89 points, okay? 37 of those 89 have been off of defensive takeaways.
Either directly or to them.
Mm-hmm. So you have essentially 41% of your point production due in part to the defense. And so I'm not saying that that's a bad number. That's a great number. Great. It means your defense is taking the ball away. But you also have to have an offense that can create opportunities on their own, and I think that that's going to be a big part of their next step. Also, the explosive runs. You know, if you're going to be a running football team, you want to start to see the big runs. We haven't seen Leonard Fournette, you know, have that one that, you know, that we go, wow, that was 40 yards or 50 yards
as
or whatever.
As long as to 17, right?
17 yards. And, look, Corey Grant has, I think, a 58-yarder on that fake punt, but I don't qualify that as an explosive play for the offense, okay?
Well, we'll say, talking to Nate Hackett today, we'll hear the interview later this week on the tailgate show before the game. They're not saying, hey, it's going to come, Leonard. That's not the mindset with Fournette. They're saying stay consistent, just keep doing what you're doing. They're not worried about him getting a big run. It's going to come at some point, but they're not trying to get in his head about it, at least.
No. Because, yeah. you look, to use the term that Malik used there, keep on chopping wood, right? I mean, those type of plays will happen. But
that kind of running has helped his offense, too, that he's doing, too.
Well, yes. I mean, here's the best part about Fournette. Well, you know, look, he hasn't had the big run yet, but there's a lot of people that are stacked in on the box. And at some point, you know, the box is going to miss. And the nice thing is about a stacked box is once you get out of that box, there's not a lot of help, okay? And it's going to be a foot race. So those things will happen. But you want to see more plays that are chunk yards as an offense as a whole. But here's the best part about Leonard Fournette. There's a lot of running backs that will get tackled for minus yards, no gain, or whatever. He rarely gets stopped for minus or zero gain. And I think that's the beauty of Leonard Fournette, is that he has that ability to make positive plays out of plays that really aren't that good on the onset. Mm-hmm. But then he also has the ability to break a big one, which we haven't seen the big one yet, but we know it's coming. He's capable of it. I mean, look at his track record at LSU. You know, and then offensively, you know, look, the quarterback needs to be consistent. That's obvious. And then you need to see other players develop at the wide receiver position, and whether that be Keelan Cole take a step up, getting D.D. Westbrook back in the future, that group needs to take a step up.
Let's come back and get into the schedule ahead the rest of the week for the Jags. The Jags and the Jets coming up Sunday. This is the Doug Marone Show on Jaguars Radio. Doug Marone Show continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, head coach Doug Marone with us earlier. Coming up on our flagship station, 1010XL in Jacksonville. Stick around. Jaguars Thursday is next. Tony Vaselli will be dialing in from Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra, Green Bay, for Thursday night football.
Good football game.
You had one more thing that you wanted to get to correct.
Yeah, well, I mean, one other area that the Jaguars need to start improving on is third down production on offense. And, you know, look, part that is in due in large part to the play of the quarterback. And look, it was better last week. But, you know, you heard me earlier talking with Doug Marone, in that Josh McCown's passer rating goes up about 20 points from his overall rating compared to his third down rating. And with Blake Bortles, the numbers are this. His overall passer rating right now is a 93.8. His third down passer rating is a 51.5. You're talking about 42 points there. That's a category and an area that he needs to improve upon.
Jags, Jets, coming up Sunday. Your old stomping ground, Fox.
Yeah, that's whether these stomping grounds are different now. Different faces, different grounds.
No
even.
Doubt. No doubt about that. So the Jags looking to win the first quarter of the season. Our thanks to Doug Marone, Max Hochman, Joe Fortunato. For Jeff Loggeman, I'm J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for listening to the Doug Marone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.